Welcome, everyone, to the inaugural episode of The Green Side with your hosts Josh Babbitt and Sean Weir. Before we get started, I want to introduce the new show to everybody. It's a new show on the THP Radio Network, as well as give my co-host for this adventure a chance to tell you a little bit about himself. The Green Side is a monthly show, and it's directed at everything that happens in and around the green, from news and talk about your short game equipment, accessories, tips and drills, how to make your game better basically from inside of 100 yards. If it's news around the green, we're going to have it for you here. I want to take the opportunity to introduce my co-host, and he's going to be with me every show. His name is Sean Weir, and he's from PutterZone.com.
Hey, Josh. Good to be here with you. I'm really excited about this show.
I am as well, and I want to, you know, to take this time to, you know, kind of have you introduce yourself to the listeners that may not know you, as well as tell everybody a little bit about your site.
Yeah, I started PutterZone.com about 3 years ago. It started off as a personal journey. I was trying to find everything I could about putters and putting to help my own game, and I went online looking for a site like PutterZone.com that would help me find out what I needed to know. And, you know, really, that site didn't exist, so I thought, you know, I'll create that site myself and share that personal journey with others so that they can come and learn about putters and putting and putter fitting and putter technology, all in a central location. And that's what PutterZone.com is all about. It's about reaching the average recreational golfer and giving him or her the information that they need to raise their game.
I know it's educated me quite a bit, you know, over the years, and I've always liked your insight and your writing style. Like we mentioned before, the green side's going to be about everything that's inside of 100 yards, right around the green, mostly putters in general. Why don't you kind of tell our listeners about how we're going to break this show down?
Yeah, the green side is going to be broken down into sections that touch on all aspects of the short game, like you said, with the focus on putters and putting. The sections are going to be hot new gear. We're going to get into some tech talk. We're going to do news and buzz, some instructional tips. And we're going to also have a section or a segment called Jargon Buster, where we delve into a lot of the jargon that's floating out there that can be very confusing for the average golfer, you know, swing weight, lie angle, loft, those types of things. And we'll get into those and explain them and talk about how they can affect your game and what you can do to make them work to your advantage.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, so let's get right into it.
Well, as you'll come to learn in future episodes, that sound means where it's time for our hot new gear section. This is a segment of our show where we talk about basically all the new things that are coming to the market or have just hit the market, such as putters and accessories and et cetera.
Yeah, and we're going to start off with the new Cleveland BRZ for bronze putter that is just coming out right now. And boy, Josh, this thing is rocking for $89. I was totally blown away by this putter, and I know you've had some experience with it as well.
Yeah, it was funny. When it arrived, I wasn't really expecting it. I didn't even know the line was coming, and I opened it up, and I immediately thought, oh, my God, Cleveland's decided to get into the high-end putter game.
Exactly.
You know, this looks like a $300 putter. And in some ways, it putts like a $300 putter.
Yeah.
And when you say, I've written it a couple times, and I just keep saying, can a putter be this good for less than $100?
And it can, apparently.
You're exactly right. It won on tour. Well, not the BRZ, but the Cleveland Classic line did. And, you know, I know feel is a hot topic with putters. And, you know, we had this topic on our site a while back was, does price dictate feel? And does somebody thinking it's milled or forged or anything else, does that mean it's going to feel better in their head? And in some ways, I think it is. What are your thoughts on the actual feel of this putter when you took it out for a roll?
You know, I really like it. I think that the one thing that made me hesitate when I first saw it was the insert, because the original Cleveland Classics didn't have an insert. So I thought, oh boy, you know, where are we going with this? But I think they gained a step there with this insert. It's an aluminum insert. It's just got a really solid yet supple feel. It's not, you know, it's not out on the edge by any means. It has a really solid, almost all-metal feel, even though it is an insert putter.
I agree. You know, for the first couple of times I rolled it, I didn't even realize it was an insert. I thought it was just, you know, something where it was outlined similar to some Bettinardi putters of the past. I thought it was a solid metal putter. And once I learned it was the insert, I was actually very curious of what goes into it.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the fact that the insert itself is aluminum certainly helps. And, you know, conversely, it's not a knock on other insert putters that aren't metal or insert putters in general.
Absolutely it's not. Just, and we'll talk about just, that we're talking, soon.
Yeah, we're talking about the Cleveland Classic line. So the fact that this insert isn't a great deviation from sort of the core principle of that line, I think that's what impresses me. You know, and overall, just putting all the tech talk aside, I mean, just the feel is phenomenal, particularly, you know, going back to the price, $89.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I'm not sure they could have done a better job. Speaking of a company that's kind of released something new, you know, Seymour is a company that makes putters that I've fallen for the RST technology, and we can get into that a little bit, but they're having a new putter, or they have a new putter out called the DB4, and it's something that's completely different than anything Seymour's done. We reviewed it on our site. I know you've tested it out. It's an answer-style putter with RST2.
Right, and RST2, I mean, they did such a great job of seamlessly transitioning their original rifle scope alignment system to this classic answer-style putter by moving the red dot of the RST2 from the crown of the putter to the hosel. It's quite ingenious because they've been able to maintain sort of the fundamentals of the RST alignment system, but bring it to a style of putter that is obviously very high in demand.
Yeah, I'm not an answer style player, and I think I'm one of the few that's not. I don't mind them. I actually like them quite a bit, but if I have my choice, I'm going to go with something else. And again, that's a topic for another day, but this putter itself almost converted me strictly with the look and the feel and the fact that I do get the RST technology, in this case RST2, to where I know I'm on plane. And people can call it gimmicky, they can call it a lot of different things, but for me, rifle scope technology works.
Works for Payne Stewart, or worked for Payne Stewart, and it works for Zach Johnson.
As well as a couple of others, and it really has helped my game. And I was glad to see Seymour putting this out so they could become more mainstream and less cult, as I like to call them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. There are a lot of different opinions out there about the answer style putter, but it's, you know, it's undeniably something that a lot of people want. And so for Seymour to be able to offer their signature on that style of putter, I think that's really a significant thing. And I'm glad to see him do it.
Myself as well.
You know, Josh, another new putter I'm pretty excited about is the new Nike Method putter. You know, there was a lot of buzz about that in 2009. It was sort of on the sly or under the radar, yet on the radar because it was on everyone's television screen during the major tournaments. But for quite a while, even though we saw the putter and sort of knew a little bit about it, you know, it really was an unacknowledged model by Nike, and we didn't get the name till many months later in the tour season, and ultimately it was revealed as the Nike Method putter, and I know you've had a little experience with this.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. We saw it on the tour. It's got major pedigree, winning two of the four majors last year, and when I first saw it, I couldn't figure out what it was. Was it something they were going to do with the unitized line, and what was with the computer chip / hieroglyphics on the face of it? I couldn't figure it out. And, you know, we've obviously learned it is the Method. And, you know, they've sent me some. I've tested them, and I know you've tested them out as well. It really is kind of Nike's entry. I know they've been in the premium putter market before, but this is really their entry into the premium putter market, from my viewpoint anyway. And they're kind of entering with a bang, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they had the unitized line, which I think was sort of dipping their toe in the water, but I think this is, you know, where they're making a real splash, and I think they've done a really good job of it on this one. Obviously, like you say, you can't say anything about the performance because it's proven. It's proven with victories in two major tournaments. So say what you will about Nike. I know there are not a lot of Nike bashers out there, but hey, it's obviously working for people.
That's exactly right. You know, it has won, and I know there's a lot of people who don't like that. Nike's kind of a polarizing topic on the internet as far as golf goes. I have nothing against them personally. I don't root for them. I have nothing against them. I actually like their products this last year. I thought they were very high-end as far as some of the other stuff out there. When I tried the Method, I really enjoyed it. I thought it had a really good feel. I don't know about the whole forward roll thing with any of the inserts, but it seems to put a really good roll on the ball. And I got to say, it looks really nice.
I would need, you know, a laboratory to compare and contrast and, you know, the minutiae of forward roll. But like you, I found it to be put a really nice roll on the rock, you know, just from a user standpoint. And, you know, my only knock, if you could call it that, it's probably more of a nitpick on the Nike Method, is that, you know, I'd like to see a little more artistry in the design. But, you know, again, I don't think this is a putter that's about the art. It's about, you know, performance and technology. And I think on those two fronts, they've done just a great job with this putter.
I agree, and I've heard that a lot of people look at the bumpers of the putter at the back end, and they're like, well, why couldn't they have added some more red or some more black? And I think in my mind, it's made to almost match the Victory Red line in the aspect of the split cavity has that same kind of textured material. And for that aspect, I think they've done a pretty good job, and I'm looking forward to hearing a lot of consumers and listener responses of what their thoughts are as well. I'm going to quickly jump in here. You can contact us at any time through the THP forum. There's a THP radio link, and then you can also contact us directly. Mine is josh@thehackersparadise.com, and his is Sean, S-E-A-N, at putterzone.com. With any questions, comments, tell us we stink, tell us you like us, and thoughts like that. And we're going to move on to the next topic here.
And as you'll come to know, that sound signifies the beginning of our Tech Talk segment. And Tech Talk delves into all of the high technology surrounding putters in the short game. And if there's anything there's no shortage of right now, it's technology. There's just so much going on out there, it can almost be disorienting. So we're just going to take them, take technology on a one-by-one basis and just see what's out there. Josh, what do you think?
I agree. And it's funny because you hear so many people say, well, there's nothing that's changed in putters in 40 years. And while the stroke in a lot of ways is similar and the look is similar, there's a lot that's changed. And I think this week, one of the things that we kind of touched on briefly previously on the show was inserts. And it seems that more and more companies are coming out with them, and there's so many different face technologies or thoughts on inserts. You have the traditionalists and the purists who say, I can never putt with something with an insert. You have the people who are dying for the latest in forward roll technology and grooves. What do you see as some of the lines coming out with new inserts or old inserts moving into new lines?
Well, I think, you know, one of the more interesting developments on the insert front is just this. What we're seeing is a lot of inserts that are metal. I think in a lot of people's minds, inserts conjure up plastic or polymer or something synthetic. And more we're seeing the incorporation of metal into the inserts to fine-tune things like feel. And so I think, you know, the sort of the old opinions about inserts don't necessarily apply right now. I think you need to be open now to what's going on. And if you're one of those people who says, I'd never putt with an insert, you might want to think twice about that now, because with companies like Slotline and the Cleveland BRZ putter and some of the new Ping putters, there's some really interesting stuff going on out there.
There really are. And when we talk about inserts, they are, people immediately have that image of an Odyssey. That's what they think of. They think of the, you know, the white rubberized plastic type of insert, and I happen to like their inserts in some levels and in some putters, but there are so many kinds. Like you mentioned, the BRZ, and, you know, with their aluminum insert, and Callaway and Odyssey have the new white ice line coming out, which is a little different from the White Hot series. And let's not forget Rife with their forward roll technology. I don't remember the exact terminology, but I believe that's it. And then a Bobby Grace out on his own with the, you know, the HSM, the hole sinking material that he uses and is famous for. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah. And I had a discussion with Odyssey a while ago, and I mean, the level of thought and detail and technology that goes into those inserts, whether you like them or not. I mean, I certainly had to appreciate, you know, what they were trying to achieve and what they were trying to do. And I think that holds for most of these companies. They're really putting a lot of effort and a lot of thought and research into optimizing their inserts. And I think there's some really cool stuff happening out there. I mean, the Slotline 600 series, I mean, that thing, that's phenomenal. I just, you know, I was putting with that for the first time. I was just like, wow, you know.
Yeah, I agree. That putter is different. It's different than just about any putter I've felt. It has a unique sound, feel, and everything. And the insert, you almost don't realize it. You almost think it's something mechanical that's promoting the role. But what Slotline's done with their putters overall for 2010 is pretty spectacular, and we can get into that on a different show. But their insert is exactly right. And another one that jumps out that we were just talking about is the Nike Method, because it's so unique. When you look at it, you don't even realize it's an insert. It looks more like there's some black paint in there.
Yeah, and in fact, that's extruded through the face. If you look along the sole of that putter, there's a port in the polymer is extruded from the back and then through the front. It's a very interesting approach, I think it's a real addition to the insert category.
What are your thoughts on, we talked about the BRZ and the aluminum and different metals. If you had to pick one, what are your thoughts seeing the rubbery and the plastic side of things versus the metal? Or do you think it's just a conglomerate made up of so many different styles for just about every person?
Yeah, it comes down to personal preference, I think. I think it was Stan Utley said, it's hard to explain feel. You know what it is when you feel it.
That's exactly right.
What is feel? Well, you know what it is when you feel
and
it.
And you also know bad feel when you feel it.
Yeah, and it's all subjective. I mean, it's the alchemy of your own, personal whatever, what floats your boat. Some people like something really crisp, some people like something really soft. Both, we're talking in terms of the tactile sensation as well as the what it brings to the ears. And I just think what I like is the fact that all of this diversity means that there's something for everyone out there, no matter what your particular chemistry as a putter is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I went through a stretch where I said, oh, I can't do it. I can't do the inserts. They feel too artificial and squishy. But the bottom line is, if the goal of a high-end milled putter is to make a soft feel, why not embrace the aspect that technology can help it as well? I actually don't use a putter with an insert now, but I have. I used one of the craziest looking putters in the world, and we'll get to that at a different time as well. But I actually embrace it. I like it, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about some of the new technologies coming out.
Yeah, and I think this idea that an insert equals soft, has just somewhat been turned on its head lately by some of these putters. I've experienced some inserts that are firmer feeling than, say, a soft carbon milled putter. So, again, it's just about all those nuances. And, if you're changing your golf ball, that's another thing to consider. Someone like Phil Mickelson is really obsessive about things like feel and audio feedback. He's had his inserts tweaked whenever he changes the ball because, it changes the synergy of the feel if you go to a softer or firmer ball. So, that's something, too, that if you find your old putter, if you make a ball switch, it just, you don't like the feel or the feel has changed for you. There may be an alternative, whether it be in the insert category or in the all-metal category, that maybe is more adaptable to that particular change.
I was unaware that we were supposed to have synergy on the golf course, but that could explain my putting altogether.
You and me both. And that sound signifies the beginning of our Jargon Buster segment.
And, Jargon Buster is what we kind of talked about earlier. It's all the stuff going on and words you hear in the putter world or short game world, and we're going to explain it, and this will be kind of an educational section. If you have a question on this, don't hesitate to email us. You can email us at josh@thehackersparadise.com or Sean, S-E-A-N, @putterzone.com with different terms you're struggling with, different ideas that you may have questions about in regards to jargon that goes on with putters and short game. This week, why don't you tell everybody what the Jargon Buster is?
Yeah, the Jargon Buster this week is lie angle, which is one of the many terms out there that, can be kind of disorienting. We hear about swing weight, loft, lie angle, MOI, blah, blah, blah. And so we want to take these one by one and delve into them and talk about what they are and how they can impact and benefit your game. And we're going to start with lie angle today.
A couple of years ago, it was a little less than that, I want to say, maybe 18 months ago, I went through a putter fitting. And we can get to putter fittings on a different show. But one of the things I learned is that I'm pretty standard when it comes to lie, and I haven't always been that way. But in the last couple of years, I'm pretty standard, and I learned that that's between 70 and 71 degrees, closer to 71. But we do hear and see all the time people learning that their lie angle is way off. Why don't you tell people how they can find that out and a little bit more about it?
Yeah, lie angle is basically the relationship of the angle of the shaft with the horizontal sole of the putter and the horizontal surface on which you're putting. If you think of like a croquet mallet that's sort of like a T, that would be a 90-degree lie angle because it's perpendicular to the ground. Obviously, a shaft on a putter is coming in at an angle. Hence, you have a smaller number than 90 degrees, like Josh said, 70, 71. So, those are the standards. But what happens is if the lie angle on your putter is ill-fitting for you, your setup, and your physique, what you may find is that the toe or heel of the putter is actually sticking up off the ground as you set up for your putt. And that can wreak a lot of subtle havoc on your game because you end up pushing and pulling putts and you don't really know why.
I've noticed that, you'll go to a putting green and you'll see somebody putting and it'll be like the toe is an inch off the ground.
Right.
And you're thinking to yourself, how can they possibly hit the sweet spot? And obviously they've adjusted and they're used to it and things like that. But getting properly fit, putter-wise, can really change your game.
Yeah, and the physics of lie angle are, it took me a while to wrap my brain around it because, if you're looking down, the toe's sticking up, but the face of the putter you still think is square with the target line, and you think, well, I may not hit the sweet spot, but if I do everything else correctly, this ball is going to go straight. Well, what happens is when you have it tilted or tipped up like that, that interacts with the loft on the putter. And that's where you get that kind of weird situation where it actually sends the ball on a wrong angle. That's what causes a push or a pull. I'm a words person, not a numbers person, but it's not just about the toe being up, but it's also about how that interacts with the loft on the putter, and it can send the ball left or right of the hole.
How many people do you think fail to do this when they're, finding a new putter, even check what the lie angle is?
Well, I think most people.
I mean, I never did it up until a couple of years ago. Yeah. I never even looked. And now I know that some putters are even going as far as stamping it on the putter. But
well, they are, but, you can still look on the websites of a lot of putter manufacturers, and it can still be hard to find lie angle. I just don't think that it's something that's been top of mind, but it's increasingly becoming so, and for good reason. It's one of those things you can get freaked out about all this stuff, or you can just go, okay, let me just think about that. Let me have a friend look at how I'm putting and see if perhaps I have a lie angle issue, and just start from there. It may be that if your lie angle's off, you can have someone bend it for you and make it right for you. But it's certainly something when you're buying a putter, you really want to be thoughtful of.
And I want to give a quick thing, a THP word of advice. Please don't try to bend your putter yourself. there's some people out there that are listening, I'm sure, who can do it, but I've tried it. It didn't work, and I ended up with a putter head and with a broken shaft in the end of it.
Yeah, a lot of stuff can go wrong if you do the Home Depot approach, the do-it-yourself. Don't try that at home. Yeah, and you need a special machine for that. You need someone who knows what they're doing.
And I am not that guy.
Neither am I. But, in the market, there's variation. The Yes Dawn putter is 72. Mizuno Bettinardi Black Carbon, 71. The new Cleveland BRZ, 70. So you see how even some of these top putters, there's quite a bit of variation on what they consider stock for their putters. And I know that some of the top instructors now who are advocating a more upright setup say that, even an under 70 lie angle is what's working for a lot of people. So, it's just something to be mindful of, something that can help your game or hurt your game.
So our tip this month, of course, is get putter fit, which will probably be our tip every month. But that's our Jargon Buster segment. And that is our show for the first ever episode of The Green Side. But before we go, this is THP Radio, and Putter Zone is the same way. We're going to do a little contest to kind of preview what's coming in our show next month. And one of the segments we're going to be talking about next month is shapes and how putter shapes have gotten crazy over the last few years. I know Sean and I talked off air about some of the crazy ones we've both seen, but here's the deal. We're going to do a contest to win a Greenside prize pack made up of some pretty cool, unique golf items for the people who send in their craziest putter, not the actual putter, just a picture of it or a description of it, to contests@thehackersparadise.com, or you can email either one of us. Again, it's josh@thehackersparadise.com or sean@putterzone.com with either a description or a picture of the craziest putter you have seen from a shape standpoint, and tell us why you think it's crazy. The winner will announce next show. We'll get a Greenside prize pack. What are your thoughts on some of the shapes we've seen? We'll save most of it for next show.
Yeah, and, you know, the pink crazy is obviously an easy choice, so we'd ask you to be a little more creative than that. So, you know, get your thinking cap on and get crazy with us.
Absolutely. So, you know, I want to hope everybody enjoys the show. You can always send us your feedback or post it in the THP forum. We want to hear from you guys. We don't want to be canceled after the first show. I don't think that's going to happen. But I want to sign us off. And for Sean at Putter Zone, I am Josh. And don't fear the green, conquer it.